So welcome to JAT Chat, presented by the Journal of Athletic Training, the official journal of the National Athletic Trainers Association. I'm Dr. Shelly Vaez, an assistant professor in the Department of Exercise and Sports Science at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and the co-host of JAT Chat with Dr. Kira Radzak. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Drs. Gretchen Schlaubach and Marisa Colston. Dr. Schlaubach is an adjunct professor in the Doctor of Athletic Training program at Florida International University and in the Master of Science of Athletic Training program at Old Dominion University. Dr. Colston is graduate athletic training faculty and the department head of health and human performance at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Dr. Schlaubach and Dr. Colston are both recipients of the NATA Service Award and of the NATA Most Distinguished Athletic Trainer Award. Dr. Schlaubach is also an NATA Hall of Famer and Illinois Athletic Trainer Association Hall of Famer. And Dr. Colston is a Tennessee Athletic Trainer Society Hall of Famer. And they are co-authors of Athletic Trainers Shared Professional Values, a report from the National Athletic Trainers Association Professional Responsibility and Athletic Training Committee. Thank you all so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So starting off, just with a broad question for our listeners, what prompted the development of this statement about shared professional values in athletic training?
Well, I think I'll take the lead on that. And Marisa, please jump in. The mission of the Professional Responsibility and Athletic Training Committee is really to support the legal and the ethical and the regulatory standards of the Athletic Training Strategic Alliance by encouraging and promoting adherence. And so given that we were new committee in 2017, we thought the first thing we needed to do is ask the members what the legal, ethical, and regulatory issues were relative to athletic training. And we sent out a membership survey to the group, and we found out that members were really quite frustrated with all the documents that they need to be mindful of in order to provide good, right, and responsible behavior. So what they were wanting us to do is streamline those documents, make it easy for them so that when they're caring for a patient or they're in the athletic training world as a colleague, how do you pull that stuff together and be responsible to whomever you're working with? And so one of the ideas as we were brainstorming about this need for streamlining the legal, ethical, and regulatory documents of athletic training, one of the things that we began to talk about were professional values as a way of bringing members together and at least adhering to a certain set of values, because values motivate behavior. And so if you use shared professional values, they're moral in nature and they tend to be ethical, if you will. And so if we can get people's decision-making and behaviors going in one direction, it will provide time for them to sit back and at a later time and reflect upon the documents that they're responsible to adhere to.
Yeah, and it certainly seems like as we're thinking about enhancing our patient care, we have to start with these foundations to be like the stepping stone for us when we're thinking about interacting with our colleagues and interacting with our patients and interacting with many people in our career.
You're spot on with that, Shelby. And I do want to emphasize that these values are not just for the patient relationship that we have. It's for our colleagues. It's for other healthcare providers. And that's really an important point. Oftentimes we think that this is all about patient care, but it's about us as professionals in the profession of athletic training. So whoever we interact with.
When we think about interacting with other colleagues, I think athletic trainers are really unique where we interact with so many different types of healthcare providers. And as we think about these shared professional values. What all did you find exist in the literature as it relates to some of these other healthcare providers that we interact with on the day-to-day?
Certainly, what we discovered as we were reviewing the literature was that there are a number of healthcare professions, as well as medical specialties, that have found the usefulness of shared professional values, given that they are the moral cornerstones of their profession. And they use them as pillars for developing professionalism. For example, let me just use the physical therapy profession. They were transitioning in 2020 from a profession that did not require a doctorate to a doctoral profession. And one of the things that they noticed is that they really needed to have a strong foundation of professionalism. And in order to have a strong foundation of professionalism, their approach was to use professional values, given their ethical and moral nature, to establish their notion of professionalism within physical therapy. So that's one way. Occupational therapists have used professional values as a way to really highlight their beliefs and attitudes and also their behaviors. Nursing has done the same thing. They wanted to help new incoming students in nursing, help them to understand the essence and the core of nursing and the things that they value in terms of professional core values. We have used shared professional values. And Marissa, share with us how through your leadership on the research and how you pulled together and went forward on this research piece that we have.
Well, the literature review started back, and we'll touch on this, I guess, perhaps later in this podcast, but we were fortunate to get the support to use graduate students and another colleague of mine at UT Chattanooga. And so we just put it to the graduate students to just hit the literature, and they poured through hundreds of articles. And through that, we identified various professional value alternatives, so different listings. And we, gosh, through the content experts, we whittled it down ultimately to it was more manageable to put in survey format to validate. And if it wasn't repeated in a certain number of times, or if perhaps it was taken out of context and not used for a professional values, we excluded it. So that's really how we explored the literature, and we were all over the place, not just with the literature and athletic training, such as, you know, looking through the CATI competencies, looking through BOC standards of professional practice, NATA code of ethics, you know, membership standards, et cetera. We were in medical literature a lot in nursing. Nursing really, I think, have paved the way very well in professionalism and ethics, as well as the physical therapy, occupational therapy. We went to a lot of different places to make sure we thoroughly combed the literature to provide a good selection for our members to choose from.
So it sounds like a lot of research completed on the back end, even prior to starting this endeavor with developing this statement. So I'll transition us to talking about the research that's completed as part of the statement. Because I think what was unique, you saw a three-tier approach, three-study approach to help develop the statement. Could you all talk to us a little bit about the process you all took to complete the statement and the three steps that were completed in the process?
We have found that the other professions use some unique approaches, but our approach, we think, was more inclusive. Our approach was to truly understand what the members' values are. It was not about pulling together a focus group and having them identify, you know, those values. It was truly the membership. And in fact, we were so lucky to have been able to use the research availability with the NATA and their platform to solicit these responses. And we were so lucky to be able to send the survey out to the membership, and we got a great response rate, we thought it was great. We had about 13 or 14% respond back. And according to the editor of the Journal of Athletic Training, that was really quite good with a membership survey. So we were quite happy with that. And that was huge. That no other professional group or medical specialty had ever really asked their members what their shared professional values are. And now we had that opportunity and we had those data. And through Marissa's magic as the research director of this project, she can tell you the nuances and the nitty-gritty of what we did.
Just a privilege to lead this project because it's really historical. We had not had established shared professional values prior to this project. And as Gretchen already alluded to, the support from the NATA leadership was so critical to allow us to have a grassroots effort rather than a prescriptive top-down saying, here they are, and then everybody just has to affirm to it. We believe that our members would be more, this greater stakeholders, right, to be more accountable in adhering to these shared professional values because they had a say, or at least the opportunity, right, to be a part of selecting what they are. And so, yeah, you're right, Shelby, you alluded to a three-tiered. We did a three-stage or three-part, three-year project starting in late 2017, and everything got solidified and approved in 2020. The first phase, the first stage was survey validation. So we used the Athletic Training Strategic Alliance leaders for that. We had about 95 that we sent a survey out with a list of actually 17 professional value alternatives to select from and rank them. And we asked some other questions like, how important are shared professional values to you? And how important is it for NATA to articulate these to the members? And without a doubt, those were in the high 90% across all three stages when we asked these questions. So once we sent it out to the leadership, and our response rate to the Strategic Alliance leadership was really, really good. Then we went on to phase two, which was part that Gretchen was alluding to, and that was the membership survey. So the survey went out to over 35,000 members. Those were the members that had agreed to receive those types of emails. What made me feel better about it as a researcher is that the demographic of our respondents very much aligned and mirrored closely the demographics of the membership as a whole. So we felt that we had a good representative distribution in the responses that we had. And so we sent the 16. And then when we got the results back from that, we collated everything, did the analyses, and then Gretchen presented that to the NATA Board of Directors for their final, I guess you could say, selection and ratification. So once we got the final listing, the professional values from the Board of Directors, then we went into phase three. And phase three was going with the five shared professional values that the Board of Directors had approved. And then we went back to our content experts. And we developed a definition for each of the five identified professional values, approved professional values. And then we also did the behavior indicators, which are like example behaviors. We created five for each of the five professional values. And then from there, we surveyed the NATA leaders, so all of the chairs and members of national committees, NATA committees, and task force. And had another great response rate from those individuals. And we had very good agreement with our definitions. And they ranked the behavior indicators for each professional value. And Gretchen presented those to the Board of Directors, and they decided to go with the top three ranked one for each of the five.
That was a fantastic summary. Thank you so much for providing that for our readers. So I want to transition to, what did we find? What are those five shared professional values that you all found throughout this process?
Well, I'll just keep going with that then, if that's all right. If you can remember CIRCA, C-I-R-C-A, we just played with the rearrangement and we thought, well, that's kind of neat because CIRCA usually means around or about. which usually is in reference to a date, but we kind of did a play on words, and circa is what we're about. So if you can remember the CIRCA, the first C for caring and compassion and caring, and then I for integrity, R for respect, C for competence, and then A for accountability. And that is our 5 shared professional values for the profession of athletic training.
The article itself, there's an amazing table that has outlined the different values as well as the 5 behavioral indicators.
That is a fabulous infographic that NATA Marcom put together for us.
So as an athletic trainer who maybe this is our first interaction looking at these professional values, and I really want to make sure I'm embodying these values, any recommendations on how to move forward or what we should do in order for us to make sure that incorporating this into my professional practice?
Things have already bubbled up. We have a professional values subcommittee within the committee of the Professional Responsibility and Athletic Training Committee. And we've already bubbled, and Marissa was on this too, we've inserted our professional values into our NATA Code of Ethics, again, because they're moral in nature. And you'll see not only are members now expected to adhere to the professional values, they're also part of the code. So, you know, there's also an opportunity for members to evaluate other members to see if they're abiding by these professional values. And if they're not, our recommendation is to be more collaborative in terms of helping members understand that, you know, respect is an important value. And these are some ideas and behaviors for respect. And, you know, this is how you can work to correct your actions or your behaviors in order to align yourself with this notion of respect that we find to be very important in the NATA Code of Ethics. So we, with professional values, we self-regulate each other so that it's not a complaint form to the COPE committee to be adjudicated, but it's more of an understanding that we have permission now to go ahead and help each other improve ourselves in terms of our behaviors and in terms of our decision making. And another exciting thing that we are working on right now is to provide the NATA membership with a pledge. They may be academics working in a professional program, or they may be in a practice setting, but we're going to integrate these professional values and just a short pledge that, you know, I, as an athletic trainer, will adhere to and abide by these professional values if they so choose to use the pledge in their practice setting or their professional group. But it's a start. Now that we have them, we've got to do something with them beyond the code of ethics and beyond a pledge. I think we open up an opportunity for further research. For example, I think some of the things that I would like to know is it'd be interesting to see how effectively we are integrating these shared professional values. For example, are professional programs integrating professional values into their professional programs? And if they are, how are they doing that? Are practice settings integrating these shared professional values into their practice setting? And if so, how are they doing it?
If we have any clinician scientists listening to this, Gretchen, you just gave so many awesome research ideas on how to move forward. So thank you for providing that for our listeners.
Well, thank you in advance for getting that word out.
So can you provide a take-home point for our listeners? What would be the most important thing that you want our listeners to walk away with from this podcast?
I like to dabble in carpentry when I'm not wearing my department head athletic trainer hat. And one of the rules of thumb in carpentry is to always measure twice and cut once. And as I've been working on a project over the last year, measuring more than twice and hopefully only cutting once, it really made me extrapolate that and apply it to what we've been doing for the last several years on professional values is think twice, act once. And even with measuring twice, cutting once, or thinking twice and acting once, that does not mean you're always going to get it right. even the best intentions could have unintended, harmful outcomes. So I think we need to realize that we are not humanly possible to do all the right things every time. It's just not possible. But what we can do is to slow down. We can be intentional, like measuring, being thoughtful, think things through instead of being reactive, and pause enough, especially if it's an emergent situation where you don't have time to go through the four principles and the sub-principles of the Code of Ethics or all the principles listed in the BOC Standards of Professional Practice or perhaps any regulatory documents from a legal perspective. You just have to make a decision. So you need it to be one that you can stand by. So if people can just pause to go through CIRCA, go through those five professional values, I believe that you can minimize the likelihood of having a poor outcome.
That's great. And I could spend another 30 minutes talking about the notion of values orientation and compliance orientation. And Marissa alluded to that. The values orientation is a beautiful orientation in that it uses our five shared professional values, CIRCA. And that is used typically, at least the literature tells us, and I've used it in my own day-to-day life, is that you use those five values to see, oh my gosh, initially, when something happens, when there is an issue bubbling up, whether it's on the field or in the classroom or even in your office, you go to those five values, CIRCA, caring, compassion, integrity, respect, competence, accountability. Okay, did I cover all five? Yes, I believe I did a good job covering all five. Okay, the incident then begins to dissipate and you have time now because you used your CIRCA to care for it. You've got time now to thumb through the legal documents, thumb through your practice app, thumb through the Code of Ethics and say to yourself, golly, did I abide by all those principles, all those statutes, all those regulatory rules and other statutes? And if you can say yes, then you're good to go. If you say if you didn't, then reflect on that. What needs to be done now that the incident is behind you? What do you need to do to follow up with that incident? Maybe nothing, but maybe you need to say, you know, I should have done da da da. I need to come back and look at this again and work with folks on stuff.
Well, those were both extremely impactful take-home points, and I really appreciate you both taking the time to meet with me today and to have this very important conversation. So just to our listeners, this article is available free of charge by the Journal of Athletic Training. So I highly recommend everyone go download this manuscript and make sure that you have CIRCA posted somewhere in your athletic training facility or in your own office to make sure that we're all abiding by the same professional values. So again, thank you both so much. And we will see you all next time on JAT Chat.
Great. Thank you, Shelby.